Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 398 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we don't know either in the sense that we don't know the answers to each other's questions that we're going to ask. So play along with us here, guests, because you will have a much better job of getting things right than I do. Thoughts on that, Michael?
No, I agree that they're going to have a better chance than you.
Fair. Do you want to kick us off today, Michael, with your interesting fact that we can guess?
I can, as a matter of fact. Mine is about aircrafts.
Aircrafts? Okay, like, is that different than airplanes? Like, an airplane is an aircraft, but a helicopter is an aircraft slash not an airplane.
I think this is one of those khaki chinos things. All airplanes are aircrafts, but not all aircrafts are airplanes.
Okay, cool. Squares and rectangles. I got it.
Yep.
Right, well, we'll narrow it down just a little bit. The F-35. The F-35 is a fighter fighter plane that we use.
Raptor? Mm-hmm. Is it a Raptor?
I believe it's the Raptor. I didn't want to say it without just immediately guessing, but I'll go ahead and give that a quick Google. Pretty expensive. But we're going to have them as part of the U.S. military for at least the next 3 years. My question is this. Based on the cost of the aircraft and the amount of time they're in service, what is the cost per hour of flying that F-35?
Ooh, cost per hour.
Okay, so the F-35 is fun thing. Living here where we live in Washington, well, not you, Michael, but the rest of us, where we live in Washington, D.C., and I grew up here. You guys did not grow up in this area, but I did. So one of my brother's friends growing up was, I'm going to be as vague as I possibly can here because there's probably some stuff that shouldn't be said.
I was about to say, yeah, very careful here, Nick.
Yeah.
Just interrupt you really quick, Nick, and bail you out. The F-22 was the Raptor. The F-22 was the Lightning.
Oh, the Lightning. Ooh. Okay. So I believe my brother's friend, his father was the CEO of a major defense contractor. And at one point, and this was years ago, this was maybe a decade ago, they were talking about the development of the F-35. And I happened to be in the room at the time. And basically what he was saying was they were bidding on the contract to build the F-35. And based on the specifications of the craft, it would only take something like 18 of them in simultaneous flight to patrol every inch of airspace on the planet. And the order was for more than 100. So the F-35 is a good plane if it worked, which I don't believe it does. It does?
F-35 works.
Okay, so it works. All right. The conversation that I was part of, that I was adjacent to at the time, I believe they said that the cost of the F-35 was over $1 billion.
I believe that's the cost of the order. Let me just take a quick look.
Let's all stare at Michael as he
Find the
follow-up answer.
Unit cost. Yeah, okay, so it looks like they're anywhere, depending on which version you get, from 78 to 101 million.
million.
What do you mean? Wait, let's pump the brakes here. What do you mean, mm-hmm. What version? Like, is there like a leather seat upgrade that they're talking about here?
There's the XL, there's the four-wheel drive.
Yeah, like I want the one with the full leather seats, the backup camera. Like,
right. You got to get XM Sirius satellite radio in those things.
Yeah, like just what's the upgrade price?
So there's an F-35 A, B, and C, and they all have slightly different modifications on them. I can also I can take a look to see what the difference are.
No, Nick and I are just procrastinating again because we know what the formula is, the total cost of the plane divided by the hours of service, right?
Right. But
I think, you know, he wouldn't be asking if it was $1 an hour, so it's got to be higher. So I'm going to say $50,000 an hour.
Okay.
For no other reason than I need to guess. And I think that seems like a significant amount of money, but it's probably way more than that. I should have gone with my gut and said 100K, but I'm going to stick with 50.
So $50,000 an hour times 24 hours in a day times 365 days a year. Right. Times 3 years. That would be $1.3 trillion if they were flying 24/7.
Which they are very much not.
Right. So we assume what? One out of every 24 hours they're flying?
So this, I'm sorry, this is the cost to fly. This is just, this isn't based on the cost of the
flight. That's my fault. Not like that's the purchase fault. Of it. It's like how much the gas cost?
Right. And, okay. And I'm assuming paying the pilot and all that stuff.
Michael, okay. That is a
That's my fault. I admit it.
That is a very difficult question. I will allow you
to revise your guess there.
Right. How much is a tank of gas is a lot different than how much is the car?
Yeah. And also, Michael, like I started this podcast by being like, hey, you know, you're going to guess along with our questions. Let's see if you get them right. And I just assumed that the questions would be something that, you know, would be understandable, but I was wrong. So thank you.
I definitely didn't pull this source about 2 minutes before we came to air. That's definitely not what happened.
Okay.
I definitely gave this intense research and misspoke and not reading this through for the first time through.
Okay. So let's go with, I'm going to say $15,000 every time it's flown.
I am looking for a per hour figure though. That part has
15,000 per hour.
Okay.
15,000 per hour. Okay. I have literally nothing to base this on. So I'm going to go with $50,000 per hour because that was Lindsay's original guess. And if it's closer, it's going to be funny.
Totally fair. <Okay. laughs>
So, the lifespan of these jets is about 8,000 flight hours. So, but generally that when you work it all out, it comes down to $44,000 an hour.
That's what you gotta always go with your gut. Go with your gut. So $44,000
the first question asked. Don't even go when I clarify the question and completely miss it. Definitely go with the first guess either way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Michael, this has been interesting in the sense that I am ready to move on. So at this juncture, Nick, would you have a segue or shall I go?
So speaking of military vessels.
Oh, perfect.
Right? Michael, this is an interesting fact that I came across. And I, as I was reading it and getting more background information and getting more knowledge, I went, this is a perfect question for Michael. Lindsay, you feel free to guess as much as you want, but this really isn't a question for you. This is a question. It's not even for the audience, really.
Lindsay feel that need? Just like, yeah. Oh, no, she wants to jump in as long as she's taking care of scheduling and recording and everything.
You guys know me. I really need permission to speak.
So
really tough for me.
Something that listeners may have picked up on over the course of 398 episodes of this show, however many Michael and I have been on together. Michael, very, very rarely does Michael correct me. He usually just goes with whatever it is I'm saying, unless he's absolutely sure about something. But there is one topic that no matter how often I misspeak, Michael immediately steps in and tells me how wrong I am. Okay.
Okay.
It happens all the time. No, it's definitely not West Wing. It's not West Wing.
Okay.
All right. It has to do with your background. So just to give all of the listeners a little bit of a background on Michael, Michael is, for lack of a better term, a Navy brat. Right?
I don't know if... sure. I don't know if that's how I'd self-characterize myself. But yeah, Dad was 22 years Chief Petty Officer Kazi back in the day.
Yeah. So whenever I call a vessel a boat... Michael immediately steps in and says, what?
It's a ship.
It's not a boat. It's a ship.
It's a ship.
You shut your mouth and you call it what it is. It's a ship. It's not a boat. Well.
Okay, actually, wait, side note. I just want to let you guys know that when I took my friends to a private island, we used a ship, not a boat. So just so you guys know. Nice to feel normal for a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Kim. So, Michael, which classification of captained and crewed vessel, of full-time captain and crewed vessel, is referred by the Navy as a boat and not as a ship?
Okay.
So what, you're looking for the number of people?
No. I'm looking for, so basically, Lindsay, what this means is that like a lifeboat on a ship is a boat, right? Yeah. It's something that attaches to the boat. It doesn't have its own captain. It doesn't have its own crew. It's just a thing. But there is one classification of vessel within the Navy that, based on all of the rules and regulations and definitions and examples, should be a ship, but it's not. It's called a boat.
And was
I want to know which classification of boat it is.
Is a duck a classification?
You'd have to ask Michael, but I'm going to say no. Wouldn't a duck boat be more of a that'd be like a hybrid classification? That'd be
No, but it's got boat right in the title.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
So for me, it would be two different things that immediately come to mind for me.
Okay.
One is any vessel that is not powered in some way.
Okay.
So anything without an engine. I know pretty much anything that has the distinction USS is a United States ship.
Right.
So that eliminates, you know, pretty much every submarine carrier, battleship, all those.
Yeah, so like the presidential yacht, which is, I believe, a frigate of some kind.
That I believe is a ship.
It's like, that is a ship. You are correct.
What are examples of other classifications? Like, give us,
So, an aircraft carrier is a ship.
Gotcha, okay. So, right. It's basically, when you say classification, you're talking about types of things.
Yeah, Lindsay, the best reference that the article I read pointed out was, think of Battleship, think of the game Battleship. Those are classifications of ships.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Nick, every single ship in Battleship is a ship. Even
there
the
are
two,
no boats. Which,
there are no boats.
Mm-hmm. Are there?
Keep quiet. Okay. Smallest ship I can think of in the Navy is a tender ship. But that's only because I just watched that episode of West Wing the other day.
It just goes around fixing all the other boats.
Yeah, that's the one. I'm going to say landing craft.
A landing craft.
A landing craft would be a boat. But I don't remember where I heard it. But I remember the best way I kind of think about it is you can put a boat on a ship, but you can't put a ship on a boat.
Okay. That's a very good... That is part of the article that I read. That is part of the definition.
Okay.
Right. A good way to think of it, sort of thing. All right. So you're saying,
Lindsay, it's a size thing at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted because I started reading about the Battleship the movie because I was trying to make a Rihanna joke in here somewhere in this situation because we've been talking way too technical and I am on this podcast when I'm bored, so we got to keep this moving. But I was looking up the Battleship, like about the film, you know, the 2012 action film starring Liam Neeson and, you know, obviously Rihanna's in it. And they actually filmed it on the USS Missouri, which is a very relevant historical crap ship that mattered. And they let them film on it, which it was just mind blown that there wasn't like a replica. They used the actual USS Missouri. Mind blowing. So bonus fact for you. So Michael, what's your guess?
I've already said landing craft is what I'm going with.
Landing craft. Okay, I'm going to stick with duck.
Duck. Okay. So Michael, big thing that you missed, landing crafts are not captain and crewed 24/7.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So yeah.
But that's definitely not the case.
Yeah. You want to take one more quick guess before I give you the answer?
They're captain and crewed 24 hours a day.
Yes.
I got nothing then.
A submarine. The official classification of a submarine is as a boat. It is not a ship. Mm-hmm. And the reason behind it is because it predates, like, so the first submarines, and we've talked about this, the original submarine was, I believe it was named the Turtle and was used in the Revolutionary War. It was not captain and crewed. It was a, you know, assault vessel that was launched from another vessel at the time. Mm-hmm. So because it was a boat then, regardless of what it's evolved into, they still refer to it as a boat today.
I did not know that. That's fascinating to me.
I knew you would love that. And like Lindsay said, the rest of the audience probably hated it.
Like, I'm going to finish up this podcast and share that with my dad.
Yeah.
And, Because he was a carrier guy, and there's a whole carrier versus submarine thing.
Yeah.
well done. That's submarine. Fascinating. I should have, you know, I will say this. I think that I was closer, though, with my duck guess, because it is.
Oh, much closer. Know,
ducks do spend some time underwater. So
that is correct.
Cool. Okay, well, I'm going to go and segue from your fact to mine. And you know what you know about submarines, right? They're stuffed to the brim with semen, and they have lots of people inside them. And so I would like to talk about something that is inside something else. And that is, of course, Cheetos in a bag.
Really? Really? No. Wow. No.
Okay. Hang on. No. Yeah, no. Try again.
No. Try again. All right. Let me try this for you. So, speaking of submarines, you know what else is a submarine? Sandwiches. They're amazing. They have all kinds of meats and cheeses in them. But the problem with submarine sandwiches is you need a side. And you know what a great side is for a submarine sandwich?
I still think that the Cheetos being inside the bag is more related to...
You just wanted to make a scene. Submarine.
I did. We weren't as sexual as I felt like we needed to be today. So to our listeners, you are welcome.
I'm wearing a V-neck.
Yes. Okay, so a bag of Cheetos, they have a serving size, right, on the bag of Cheetos. And like on average, you're supposed to get 189 Cheetos. And that's what the bag claims to have inside of it. So my question
that's
for you.
That's a serving size?
That's what is on like the regular snack size bag of Cheetos is 139 or 189 Cheetos, excuse me.
It's 189 Cheetos to the bag. The serving size for the little ones, maybe one bag or it may be a percentage of the bag.
Yeah. It's like the larger like snack size one, but 189 chips. So, Thrillist went through and averaged it out and found out how many Cheetos you actually do get in a bag. So my question to you both, how many do you get in a bag on average, is according to Thrillist?
I believe originally the rule was you had to have at least one profile of Jesus in every Cheetos bag, correct?
Mm-hmm. At least.
That's at least that one.
Yeah.
So we know the answer is above one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Though if I opened a bag of Cheetos and there was only one in there, I'd have some problems.
It depends on the size of the Cheeto now, doesn't it?
No, that's false advertising because it says that it's an S on the front of the bag if Cheeto is in the bag.
You're right. Yeah. This is the most blatant case of false advertising since the Never-Ending Story. All right, so they got to do it by weight, right? The problem is Cheetos don't weigh anything. So
I mean,
how do you
physics wise they weigh something? Just it's
yeah no they have
it's
mass.
A very it's a very very sensitive scale.
Yes, I'm aware of the fact that Cheetos have matter. It's okay, just a matter.
You know, Puffs or crunchy guy there, Nick?
Neither. What? I don't like Cheetos.
So
I'm not a fire. I don't like fiery Cheetos. I don't like regular Cheetos.
They're
I don't
flame and
like
hot Cheetos, so don't disrespect.
Okay, I don't like the cheese balls. I don't like none of that.
I love those cheese balls. You want them disintegrate on your tongue?
Mm-hmm.
And thumbs up.
I love Doritos. So is it the nacho side of things?
I can tell you that a bag of Doritos says that it has 121 chips in it, but it actually has 121.5 on average. So,
ooh, so you get more for your money.
So you get 0.5 more in a bag of Doritos. Yes. Or sorry, they're not the snack size. They're like the full.
A full bag. Yeah. I was going to say 180 Cheetos in a snack size.
The full bag. Sorry. The large bag.
Here's what I know about every time I've opened Cheetos. Is there's always about five less than the number I want. Like, I hit the bottom of that bag a little quicker than I want to.
So you're saying it's like going to a fast food restaurant. You want that bag fry. You want that bag Cheeto. You want that extra, like, oh, I'm done. I really would like one or two more. And it's the ones that fell out and are in the bottom of the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So since Cheetos are so light, like Doritos, I feel like have more mass. They'd be easier to weigh. Mm-hmm. So Doritos, like getting close makes sense, right? They're within a half a chip. of the Doritos count, like Lindsay said. I feel like Cheetos or cheese puffs or whatever version of Cheetos you have in there, they have less mass, so they're harder to weigh. So I'm going to guess, in order to like better business practices, they're going to over deliver instead of under deliver, or rather under promise and over deliver. So I'm going to say it's higher. I'm going to say it's like 215. I'm going to say 215 instead of 189.
Okay, 215.
For the sake of argument, I think I'm going to go the other way, just because a company that makes something like that go over delivering strikes me as unusual in these days.
Sure.
So 189 was where we're supposed to start. That's the average. I'm going to say 160.
Ooh, good guesses, guys. Nick is closer, and he was definitely correct that it was over the amount. So 189 is what's supposed to be in the bag, and you actually, on average, get 237.5. So close to just slightly under 50 additional chips than what the bag says. So yeah, 237.5. Other examples, like I said, Doritos is only 0.5 more. Sun Chips, you actually get less. They advertise 112, but you get 107.5. The Ruffles original, I love those ones. Those are one of my vices. You say it says 108, but you actually get 121.5. And then what I found to be one of the most interesting one, the classic bag of Lay's, which I feel like always settles at the bottom. 150 is what they say, but you actually get 191. So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, but 190 of them are ground into powder.
Yeah, very, very true. I don't know what the minimum size count was for.
And you're going to break that last one as you bring it out.
Right, you're going to break the last one when you reach in to grab something out of the bag. Yeah. So I need to know a little bit more about this study, though. How big was their sample size?
I don't know. You can ask Jennifer from the Thrillist because they did the amount. It's got a nice info chart. This is the actual number of chips versus a claim number. This is why we went to middle school math, to be able to read a bar chart. This was the point of it. Have you guys heard the story of Flaming Hot Cheetos and how they came to be?
I have not.
Yeah, super interesting story. So back in the, you know, back in the before times, you know, pre-COVID, the CEO of not Cheetos, but Frito-Lay's. Yeah, Frito-Lay's, you know, had a big initiative of like, everyone needs to act like a CEO, act like the owner. You know, you are valued here at this company. And a janitor was working at Frito-Lay's, took some Cheetos home, they added some cheese to it. And he was like, there's nothing, you're missing the Latino market. These are delicious. My friends and family can't get enough of these, like, you know, specially flavored Cheetos that have the spice on them. And he just went in and called the CEO's office. It was just in the phone directory, met with the assistant. She's like, oh, who are you? What VP are you with? And he's like, nope, just janitor. A janitor here. Yeah. Talked with the CEO, had a big pitch meeting. This guy couldn't even really read or write really well. And then flash forward, Flamin' Hot Cheetos has made billions for the Frito-Lay's company over the years. And he is now a VP, I think, at Pepsi Corp, and really just, you know, took his shot. And good for him, man. It was awesome. It's a great story.
Half the battle is getting in front of the right person.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just everybody be a CEO. That is the secret phrase of the day. Everybody be a CEO. Yep. Get your Fritos on, get your flaming bag, flaming hot Cheetos on, whatever you need to do. Be a CEO. But we're going to wrap up this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Oh, We Don't Know Either.
Bye.